Okay, we'll go ahead and call the common council meeting to order. It is August 12th, 7 o'clock p.m. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Legal.
Here.
Boyd.
Here.
Romine.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was July 22nd. Were there changes or corrections that needed to take place?
I had a question about the rezoning request. It says the commission voted eight. Oh, never mind. I got it. I forgot. Never mind. It's good. When I read it first, I skipped a word. Never mind.
Any changes or corrections? Other changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, I think what I'm going to do is skip to six since we have a lot of individuals probably waiting to speak. So we're going to go to the sewer rate increase discussion. Per your request at our last meeting, I believe, requested to have a public meeting to discuss the sewer rate increase and specifically the two different methods of completing that, one being a $13 flat increase now with the assumption that something else would come later down the road. The second option being a 7.65 increase over the next 3 years, and this is mainly to pay for the long-term control plan that we know is coming up. Design is supposed to take place in 2017 with construction to happen in 2019. We have a couple of members of our utility rate advisory board that are here. Lee Botts is here, and I'm going to kind of put you up to speak first. Lee and Laura, who just walked in, both of them are part of our utility rate advisory board. And so, Lee, I'll kind of turn the floor over to you, and then we'll kind of go, yes, at the microphone. And I would ask that all speakers tonight please cite your name as well as your address for the public record. And then if you could limit your speeches to 5 minutes or less, that would be helpful for us. So, Lee, go ahead.
Okay. My name is Lee Botts. I live at 804 Wexford Court. I am the non-city member of the Utility Rate Advisory Board. So I am not a sewer user. But our board was provided a series of financial information and reports by the mayor, and our board met twice, first to receive the material and discuss it, and then we were take home and had our homework assignment, and then we reviewed it and we came back and made a recommendation. Our recommendation that we recommended that the city council approve the what was called the rate increase scenario number 3, the phase-in plan, the $7, $6, $5 increase for the typical utility customer, as presented in the Yumball study. For me, there were two deciding factors that we recommended a rate increase at this time. And if you have the reports on the Yumball study on page, it was on page 2. The operating fund as of December 31, 2013, was in a deficit of $231,252. And I was thinking, now what does that mean? You know, after all the bills are collected, the money is set aside for the payment of the bonds and interest that are already outstanding. The rest of the budget is operating at a deficit. Well, to me, that's a very serious consideration. The second main consideration is the initial cost projection of this plan. You're projecting to borrow in the near future $9,585,000. Well, the main thing is that if you're going to the bonding agencies and you're currently in a deficit situation, you're not going to get a very favorable interest rate. So by doing a phase-in now, improving the financial condition of the sewer utility, when you do go before that bonding agency, you'll get a more favorable rate, and you'll save the customers more over the longer run. So that was the reason that I supported a rate increase at this time.
Okay.
And I have another meeting to go to, so I appreciate you letting me go first. Thank you.
Thank you, Lane. Appreciate that. And just as an FYI, the Utility Rate Advisor Board, as I had mentioned at our last meeting, had met two Mondays in a row. The first Monday, they organized and reviewed the information, had a week to digest it, to go through it, had a lot of really great questions brought up and discussed at the second meeting. Rosie and I were both at that meeting, and as Lee had said, and thanks for being here, Lee, the recommendation was the 765 methodology. I will say I've also had, I've had two individuals discuss this with me today. Both of them were in favor of the phased-in increase. Obviously, we weren't in favor of any increase, but understanding the financial issues that are before us and the mandates that are before us, both of them had described to me that they would rather have a phased-in, especially with the both of them being more older, if you will, in the age spectrum. So with that being the case, Rosie, do you have anything you'd like to add? Just anything else that you have to? Okay. Okay, so we'll open it up to public comment. Again, if you would, if you raise your hand, I'll kind of point or call on you, and go ahead and come to the microphone. Please state your name, your address, and then if you could limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, that would be really helpful for us as we have this discussion. So. We have an icebreaker. Okay. Anybody? Yes.
All right.
Who's first?
I'm Leanne Chappelle, and I live at 323 North Chauncey Street. And I actually come to you uninformed. So I'm actually just looking for information, and I don't want to. And I want to give you some information as a homeowner, two business owners, and as I own apartments as well. So I don't know. I may have missed it because I've got a lot going on, but I don't know if we as the public have kind of the breakdown of what's going out, what's being paid. And I, for one, love sewage being taken away from my house. I'm all for that. But I, as a homeowner or as a realtor, I'm a realtor. Many times people see our utilities, and we've got them out as electric, water, sewage, and they're from other counties, and they're flabbergasted. They're flabbergasted at the rates. We are known as a very expensive city. And a lot of times in the wintertime, when people get these water bills and electric bills and things like that, it can also lead to some of the foreclosures that we've seen. They can't pay their mortgage and their utility bills. And then me, I own a salon down here at Karma, and I've got, you know, $83 in water, $275 in sewage, $108 in water, $346 in sewage, and we don't do a lot down there. That's a small place. I can imagine the other people that are really, really busy. I mean, sometimes that Karma's closed two or three times a week. So we kind of need some help. Plus the fact that I bought the apartments that are just nearly crumbling above the Nook and Karma, and I'm trying very desperately, because I love this town, I'm trying very desperately to improve them. And with these bills each month, it's hard. I've got windows coming in the next month. I've redone the roof. I said, at least give me 5 years. They gave me an estimate for $60,000 on something for redoing it and getting all the skylights, which would be really nice, but I can't. So if there's something that we could see as individuals, which you may have already sent out, because I may not have seen it, of you know, this guy gets paid for this, this is what happens, this is how this costs, this is how much, these are our bonds we pay and stuff like that, because it just seems like if you're getting so that much money from all of us, we're just at a loss, because we don't do that. We don't do sewage, we don't, you know, that sort of thing. I know everybody wants it, but that's my input about being a business owner and a homeowner and that sort of thing.
Leanne, on your, just as a curiosity for me, you had mentioned a couple of dollar figures for the water and the sewage.
Yeah.
Can you talk about, can you pinpoint the gallonage that was used in that area, just so we have an understanding? Obviously, when we're looking at the different rate increases, we're looking at the average user, which is
This was a salon. This was not my home.
Right. And I understand that. I guess I'm just trying to figure out what it's going to be for, you know, like, somebody who uses whatever you use.
It said previous 827, present 850, so 23
used. So about 23,000 gallons, roughly?
Yeah.
That's what that would be.
So, okay. And then for my house, wait, that's not, no, this is also, I thought I brought one from my house. I didn't. Sorry about that. I was going to show you kind of the difference between my house, but I didn't. And, these are all for water.
Okay.
So
that just helps us because, you know, as we look at the different options on the table, which are as few and far between, but as we look at those options, trying to figure out, okay, the average user per se would be 4,000 gallons. How does that affect those that make more? Obviously, it affects them less if you make less, but it's still affecting the public.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and with that building too, I'm tracking down leaks.
I'm sure you are.
But I don't know. That would be nice for us. I think as a public, we wouldn't be so, these rate hikes, because it's really only 7.65, that sort of thing. But if we could see where it's going, because we have no idea how expensive it is, I'm sure.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Next up. Who's it?
Don.
Oh. Sorry, Don. Didn't see you. Come on in.
Yeah, my name is Don Langlo, 660 West Park Street. Notice that we've got, I appreciate sending that to everybody. I presume everybody in the city had one. We're not the only city or town going through this. I mean, people have asked, you know, when did this start? Started a long time ago, but now we're under the gun to get it implemented. So I think what I look at is the monies, the $13 million that we need yet to generate that, so our rates maybe won't go up. But Leanne was right. People come in this town, they look at those rates. And you've got about 8 or 9 stores empty here, including out there at the Walmart area. You keep those rates up, you're going to have a lot more. So, I mean, it really affects the business people just as much, if not more, than the residential. But the residential people, it comes out of their pockets. Business people, it's a pass-through. So if we want to compete with somebody else, I guess you either eat it or, you know, increase your product. My thought was, with the state sitting on $2 billion, has your mayor council ever gone down with our senators to say, hey, you know, can you give some of that to these communities that are looking for funds to implement what we have to do? I don't know if that's been done yet or not.
We certainly have had discussions with, I've had discussions with individuals, our state senator, our state representative at this time, certainly that's changing. But basically what I'm hearing from the state is that we are not unique across the state, as you've said, and I think there's a fear of doing an earmarking thing like Washington does. There's a fear of doing that because you're opening the floodgates to all the communities that are under this gun. I completely agree with you, Don, and I will tell you, I'll promise you this, as I've said before, when it's time for that construction to come up, we will be applying for grants at the state and federal level to go after, to try to get that help on funding, which will cut down future rate increases. But certainly, that's kind of the response I've gotten at the state. But
well,
I appreciate your sentiments.
You know, with all the people that are going through, so all the cities and towns, why don't you form a coalition and just go down there and sit on their doorsteps?
Yeah.
I mean, they just can't keep passing this stuff down, and everybody else sits back there and eats it. And, you know, the other thing I look at is at the city. I mean, have you given any thought to wherever you might cut here in the city to throw a little cash into this endeavor that we are going through? I don't know if you have or not, or plan to. I know there are things that you probably can look at that you can reduce a little bit. And I guess right now, every little penny, dollar, whatever, all adds up to a final. We get down below $5-6 million, maybe it'll work. And people can try and make this thing work with as little increase as they can on their water and sewer. So whatever you can do, I think everybody appreciates. And I'm sure we'll be on keeping track of tabs of everything where we're going. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
My name's Steve Schmidt, 738 South Columbia Parkway. How long abatement do we have with SDI yet?
We don't have an abatement with SDI. The county has a tax abatement with SDI, and I don't know what that time frame is.
Okay, but they go into our sewer system, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Why wouldn't they get the brunt of the bill?
I'm sorry?
Why wouldn't they get the brunt of the bill? Because
certainly
they put in more probably sewage and water than anybody else in this corporation.
I think they with the rate increase, whatever that would end up being, they certainly would pay for a large portion. They would pay a substantial amount more with that because of the gallonage that they use.
But how do we know that? As citizens, how do we know that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that I don't really have a great answer. I guess the best I would say is they're a heavy user. So heavy users are going to be affected more by the rate increase than the others. And I think I tried to mention in the letter that I had sent out to the public that those who use more would pay more, those who use less would pay less in the increase. Was that not in there? Can somebody double check me on that? I know I discussed that at some point, whether it was in a mayor's memo or something else, but
Sharon's got a question.
Sharon?
I just have to say that after 1 million gallons, the rate goes down for those users like that. It goes down to like 253 instead of 785. So I don't think they get hit harder with that at all. They've been getting the break.
Okay.
Because they put millions down the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And after 1 million gallons, it goes to about a third of what it is regularly.
And ours goes up. If we use more, we pay more.
Mm-hmm. That's certainly something we can look at. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Sharon?
Okay, I'm Sharon Moore, 1280 West Westgate Avenue. I guess my question is what is that going to do for us flat rate users? You know, we were annexed several years ago, and we had the option of not tying into the water at the time. But if you didn't tie in, then we got billed on a 1-inch meter, which is a flat 55-55 right now. What's that going to do to us flat rate users now? I mean, we're being penalized for being annexed and not tying into the water. So I kind of want to know where that's going to go.
I don't believe that's going to be increased because we had just went back and decreased that because
it's never been decreased.
Well, it was higher. Well, it was out in the county.
Yeah, it's gone up. It's never decreased.
Well, yeah, it was higher out there, and we lowered it back to $55. And but my understanding, that isn't going to increase because they're not using anymore.
Okay.
And their rate is just going to be the flat state.
So it would stay the flat rate?
I don't know if that's in there at all to be increased.
Okay. But I do have a concern, though, with SDI. They do pump millions of gallons of sewage. They are the ones who get the break in the end. When it goes over a million, I believe it goes to 253, and I don't know if Rosie has that there with her. But the more they use, the better break they get. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair for the rest of us residential people to pick up the tab. Mm-hmm. When they built that state-of-the-art sewage treatment plant, basically for SDI, and they're getting the break. And I guess doesn't the sewage treatment plant get use of the stormwater as well?
Wastewater department gets a subsidy from the stormwater department in the range of $250,000 a year. So that's kind of the decision, I think, from the previous council, and Nicole and Dan, I think you were on that, but decision, and I don't want to misspeak, but the decision from the previous council was that instead of raising sewer rates at that time, that the stormwater, because of the influx of stormwater into the sewer system, that stormwater would compensate for that in the amount of $250,000 a year from stormwater into sewage.
Then what happens to the remainder of the stormwater monies? What's that used for then? Mm-hmm. Because that's about $600,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Sewage takes in about $3.5 million a year. And I guess if we're going to be transparent, where does all the money go with almost $4 million being taken in from stormwater and sewage? And where does that go when there's that kind of a revenue coming in?
Well, obviously, I can't necessarily speak to the revenue of the stormwater, but I will say certainly, I mean, we're in the midst of an $800,000 stormwater project currently on South Elm, South Oak, and South Walnut Street regarding that. And with $250,000 a year going from stormwater into sewage, we also have a contract with the Soil and Water Conservation District, which we just talked about that at the Board of Works meeting today, for administration, if you will, of the program, if you will. Certainly a portion of it goes to support the stormwater superintendent. Past that, that's the best I can...
And a portion of that also goes to maintain the storm drains within our city limits. Some of the tiles and things that need to be replaced or maintained. Some of that money goes for that instead of doing it the way the county does, where whoever's within that watershed, they have to pay the assessment for that whoever's in that watershed. We chose to go ahead and pay the assessments for everybody through the storm water.
I guess I'd kind of like to see sometime what goes out as opposed to what the revenue is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most everybody probably like to see something that shows where $3.5 million is going a year.
I can tell you about 1.8 of that is debt service.
Is what?
Debt service, paying bonds. About a fourth of it goes to payroll and benefits, and the remaining fourth, that's just in the wastewater utility, is operating expenses, chemicals, supplies, repairs.
And while the mayor said this is an open meeting, all of our meetings are open meetings, and we went through all of this extensively when it was first presented. I know nobody wants to come to every meeting, but it is open, and it was available for everybody to see, and it still is, I guess. Right? Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, that was my main concern with SDI.
That's just a rough. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had sat down and when we started this, looked at it, and about 1.8 of every dollar of the 3.6 or 5 that the wastewater takes in goes to paying bond payments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really think you need to take a look at SDI and some of those larger places that are pumping it in left and right. You know, it's not fair for us residential people to continue to pay for the big manufacturing people that get breaks left and right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not fair. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Next. Buddy?
I have one more question.
Where's Walt?
Yeah.
Well, as a As a Board of Works member, he's not required to be here.
Yeah, but he makes decisions for, what, four of us? You guys make decisions for everything?
Dan and Walt and I make up the Board of Works.
Why is he not here?
I don't know. He was planning on staying, but I guess, I mean, he told me.
This kind of meeting, he should be here.
I'll pass that on.
Michelle Patton just recently moved back into the city from 21 years of being out in Thor Creek Township, 737 South Columbia Parkway. My sewer bill out of Thor Creek Township is $21 a month. And it carries all of it, you know, carries all of, I don't know how many, 10,000 residents or whatever, plus the schools that are out there. So some things can be done. You know, we had the opportunity at the beginning when the sewer system was put in to pay a larger sum up front if we wanted to. And this could be something that possibly could be done for the citizens of Columbia City. If they wanted to pay a larger amount up front, then their monthly bill would be much less than the people that wouldn't put a larger sum up front. But if you moved, the people that bought your home would continue to have that lesser amount. We pay $21 a month. The people that decided not to go in with it and spend more are around $50 a month.
So more year at the beginning of the year, you mean? Or?
When they started the sewer system. Yeah, at the onsite of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's anything in consideration that you might want to think about doing, but it's, you know, it's like Don and Leanne said, you know, I mean, you guys have got to think about the future of this. This may seem like a small increase, you know. To us, it's not, to me personally, it's not going to break the bank, but we've got a large portion of citizens in this, in the Columbia City, that are very senior and are on fixed incomes. They're going to, you know, and this is just the start of things. You know, you've got, you know, lots of big things down the road that you have to consider that you're going to be, probably going to be, have to be bonded for. My word, my granddaughter's 7 years old, probably till she's 45 or 50. Eventually, you know, you've got it. You're going to have a new high school. There's just no going to be getting around that. Swimming pool, I don't know. That's up for whatever, you know. But, you know, to bring good people, good citizens, good physicians, good teachers into this community, you know, you're going to have to balance things. So I just am asking you to please think about the future.
Michelle, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I received a letter quite like what you're discussing.
Yes.
I guess I would ask, because I wasn't exactly clear on how that would work. How would you see that working in this situation?
I don't know, because I haven't sat down with a pencil and an eraser.
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
I'm just trying, procedurally speaking, do you see that being something we
I'm saying it could be offered. You know, you'd have to sit down and figure out, you know, what percentage you would have paid up front, mm-hmm. you know, to offset the cost of this,
okay.
and how many you'd have to do that to make it work. But certainly, you know, that, to me, you know, if I can afford to put down $12,000, you know, that's going to help the person that can't even afford to pay his utilities at this point. You know, because it's going to bring the whole amount down to begin with. You know, I'm not sure, you know, maybe you should talk to the Tri-Lakes Regional Sewer District and see exactly how they, you know, came to those figures, because I wasn't privy to any of that. But it sure has, I think, made an impact and kept the cost down for a lot of people. So, you know, and once that's offered, that's in. If you don't, you know, if you don't take it to the beginning, it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you're stuck with, you know, But for us, $21 a month, my word.
How long has that rate been in? Just for my, because again, I don't know much about the system. How long is your $21 a month locked in, if you will? As long as you own the property, or
they're
to know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I Gary's really a lot better about that.
I'll follow up with him then.
Yeah, follow up with him, but see, it went in right after we built our home 21 years ago. So that's how long the system has been in. And if my memory serves me right, which I don't always count on that, but I'm thinking that in the 21 years, I think it started out at almost $14 a month. So that's the only increase we've had in the 21 years. And that was after they added the school to it. Mm-hmm. So there are ways, you know, to figure it out. But they, you know, that's who I would contact to find out, you know, how they came to the percentages and,
yeah,
and you know, long term.
I think moving in, just the whole station, I think moving in, it's still 50 or under right now for sewer
out there.
It's still under 50.
You're
just moving in for somebody.
Yeah. Right. That would be the most at this point. So, but if you paid more up front, your raises would have been less than what if you didn't pay more up front.
So it's probably a percentage difference of the normal user, if you will.
Yeah.
The special rate would be a percentage of. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. I just want you to think of the future. That's all.
But that was a 5-year loan, right? That was if you took
I'm not sure if it was completely because of the school system coming in. I don't know.
When she started that, you could either take a 5-year low interest rate loan and your monthly rate would be like 55 something.
Mm-hmm.
But they paid theirs up front. And then so they only paid the rate for just the sewer. But since they were making everybody do it, everybody got that little loan. And
okay.
I think it was only for about 5 years that they did that loan for everybody.
Okay. I'll do some research on that. I don't know about that, so okay. Anybody else?
Well, you might talk Hank Bigwig's put one in too, so
okay.
I mean they'd be going through the same process. I mean I think it's all part of the same sewer district, but
okay, thank you. Anybody else? Don?
Just listening to some of the people talk about SCI and people out there, have you ever given any thought going out there and talking to SCI and tell them what we're doing here? I'm thinking when we build out there the liquid point, there's a certain fee that we have for a lot, or we can pay up front, which is mostly and it gives us a break, okay? Sit down with SDI and go over the situation. For some of the others, I didn't see it on these people out here. Just say, hey, this rate's going up. Would you consider X amount? Keep your rates and help us lower our cost of building this up front. And everybody possibly could be the winner. And those people are open to talking. And if you don't talk to them, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done quite a few different things, and they're a company so I would suggest maybe the two or three of you walk in and start a negotiation and see what money you might come up with.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, they do. As was mentioned, they care about our community, so at least think about going out talking.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Council, comments, thoughts, questions that you have?
I don't know that you can answer this, but in the Tri Lakes Sewer District, do they not need to do improvements?
They are not an MS4 community. So they're not stormwater separation. My guess is they don't have CSOs because they don't have a stormwater collection system. That could be probably a portion of the difference, but I guess it's my understanding that the county is at least being considered as an MS4 county. That's at very preliminary stage. Past that, I can't really answer much more than that.
Well, a couple of thoughts that I have are, and Michelle mentioned that something like it's not a small increase. None of us feel like this is small. None of us do. All of us have to pay it too, but none of us feel that any of this is small. And talking about things that happened in the past, this stuff has been going on for many, many administrations before the mayor took over. Nothing was done early on, and that's why it's such a big impact right now. But I guess I would like more help from people, because I get everything you're saying, and I appreciate everything you're saying, but what we have to look at is what kind of increase are we going to do, and we'd like your opinion on that. If we have to do one of these, which one would you prefer?
If you have to do one, then I would suggest that you do it at a smaller rate.
So the 765.
Because, you know, you've got, you know, these people that are on fixed incomes.
Right.
You know, that's the people you've got to think about. You've got a large population in this city of that.
Right.
So
you would recommend the 765 along with
that? Yes.
The,
I mean, okay. I understand that it's going to happen no matter what. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that when Jim Black was here for 8 years, and I know that he started this.
Yeah.
I know the mayor before that didn't
do anything.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's been...
we don't need to point fingers,
what,
but...
4, 8, 12,
yeah.
At least 12 years that things have been going on.
Right.
And they've been working towards that. So it hasn't been...
And this is just the end of all that. That we
that's
we're
right.
We're
that's
at.
Right. But I do understand you have to do it. And at the end. But mm-hmm. I just also want you to understand, you know, mm-hmm. this thing with, you know, with all the big corporations
sure.
around do use... all this.
Sure.
They are even in the city limits.
Yep.
You know, they need to pay their portion.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just going to be the beginning, because we've got major projects in the future if we want to see this city be relevant and to bring in the good teachers and the good doctors and everything that
But I also know, I don't think that the, like, the big corporations getting lower rates when they use more is unique to city utilities, because I know, well, my boss as a business pays way less for NIPSCO than what we do at home, you know.
Yeah.
And if my boss pays more for NIPSCO than we do at home, then we're going to, our patients are going to pay him more anyway, you know. I mean, it's all a snowball effect.
Yeah, well, I'm sure your boss uses a lot of water.
Yes, he does.
Well, you know,
yes, he does.
Uses a lot of water there.
Yes, he does.
But it doesn't go down the sewer. It goes on the people's
Yeah. And if I could add something to this conversation, there was many communities throughout Indiana that were charging a premium to individuals that lived outside the city, municipalities, and for sewer, water, electric, whatever. I don't think as much electric, water and sewer. And 2 years ago, there was a movement in the legislature that tied the hands of municipalities as to how much we can charge extra on top of what we charge city users. There was a bill filed and passed pretty unanimously that we are capped at the percentage of amount we can charge outside users more than city users. So I merely say that as additional information that we also have a little bit working against us down in Indianapolis as well. Not to excuse it, just informing.
I do think the idea, I'm not sure who brought it up, of putting money down up front and locking in your rates. Because if we could get, and that money was set aside,
mm-hmm.
and that'd be less money we'd have to bond,
capital
in the future that's
absolutely.
Less interest we're paying.
100% agree.
And the utility customers are paying less rates for, you know, whether it's 4 years, 5 years, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we need to look into whether that statutorily we could do that at this point.
Yeah.
Is that for new users or is that for existing?
That'd be for existing users.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I as a homeowner wanted to come in and pay $2,500 towards this project and lock in my rate at today's rates for the next 5 years, I know what my rates are going to be. Or if SDI or REMC or whoever wants to put money up front, you know, if you figure, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 per, you know, hookup over all the hookups there are, that's going to add up.
So another question to that, though, would be the way Sean put it, that discount goes with the house.
Correct.
Not with the owner.
Correct.
So if I didn't do it and you did it and then you bought my house, then you wouldn't get that break anymore.
But you know that up front.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's the, yeah.
I do have to ask a small question just playing devil's advocate. Does that not in some way, shape, or form benefit those that have more dollars to put down versus individuals who don't have the money to put down on something like that?
Absolutely.
And I just merely bring that up as a consideration as we try to figure this whole process out.
But in the large picture, it brings the total.
Oh, I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
Because
that would
the
be
rates, because the increases could be less for everybody.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just got to play devil's advocate a little bit.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that was the choice that the homeowners had to make at the time.
Right. Certainly.
You know, do we want to? We've never had anything like that come up ever before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so do we want to put that kind of money up front? And, you know, so for me, it was a no-brainer as well.
Right.
Well,
anytime you can lock in any kind of rate, especially with inflation and other reasons, that makes a lot of sense.
So the people that bought your house are locked in?
Yes.
Good for
them.
It's a good selling point.
Yes,
it is.
That's
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
But how many homes are vacated in this town?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't get any income.
Yeah.
How many? Over 100?
I think it's less than 100 now, but we were at 100 a couple of years ago. We certainly have seen.
That's a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you, Steve. It is a lot. It's too many. It's too many. Leanne, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just curious. So no matter what, like by 2017, we're going to be at $13 extra a month. Is that how that's worded?
15, 16, 17. The two plans are is at 13 we start next year, $13 one-time increase, and then we get to 17, 18, 19, that time period, and we see how much more we need to raise for the bond service, or we do a 7.65 in the next 3 years and we get to, what would that end up being?
$18.
But then you don't have anywhere near as much of an increase that much, that, you know, in 17, 18, 19, 20, I guess. If that makes sense.
And there would be smaller increases with the, I mean, it's just, I don't know, I think why we ended up here, I know you said, we have meetings all the time, people don't come.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, oh my gosh,
I know. Absolutely.
Well, we're pretty boring, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think, honest to goodness, I would say this, if there were 100 people here or two people here, this is the time period that this group has been dreading. This is not something we love to go and raise rates. We, you know, it is something that we've been dreading. And I think it's something that actually our Umbaugh, who did the rate study for us, they actually suggested, I think, and I maybe had mentioned it in there, but they had actually suggested us raising it last year, and the council really felt strongly that, you know, it just wasn't the right time. I don't think there's ever going to be a real right time. I think we've all kind of got to the place that the longer we wait, the harder the hit, and the phase-in approach is what I think this council, myself, we heard during the water rate increase that took place, that's what we heard, that phase-in approach is the way to go for people who are planning their incomes and people who are on fixed income, for that matter.
Looks under grants, or that's always down there at the state level, or looking into, I mean, if they're the ones that are mandating this,
yes,
shouldn't they have allocated it a little
Oh. That would have been lovely. I actually had that. Yes. I know. as I said earlier, we will be going after grants when it's time for projects. 9 times out of 10, the grants that they have available are for actual projects, not for
future.
Future, I guess, if you will. They struggle with that for some reason, which futuristically, you would think that would make sense. But in regards to that, we do have an individual that does a lot of grants for us or looks toward grants. We've done a lot with brownfield properties with grants in the past, and actually the last phase of this project of the long-term control plan actually was somewhat funded through a grant at the state. So our hope is to go after those dollars, and remember those are dollars you've already sent to the state. We're just hoping to get them back. Or federal government, depending on where you take it from. But, yeah.
But they still have to be paid back, right?
What?
Grants are not free.
Grants don't have to be paid back. Low-interest loans have to be paid back. You've already paid the money to the federal or state government in your taxes.
You're telling me grants are free.
I'm telling you that grant money that we get, we don't have to pay back. Low-interest loans, which we've also taken out on these projects, we do have to pay back. And that's and actually, that's a lot of, I think, some of the bonding that we've done. I won't ever say it's free because it's never free. There's
well,
nothing free.
Saying,
yeah.
I've never seen it
yeah.
Free.
Yeah. But we don't have to pay it back. It's
okay.
We've already.
We might have to match.
Yeah.
There's
certainly a match of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
10% or so.
But that's money we've already putting into the project. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
My question on this phase of the project.
Can you give name and address? Can you give name and address?
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard Blackie, Ellsworth.
Thank you.
On this phase of the project, we talked about grants, we talked about long-term, low income, mm-hmm. Low interest. But on this part, what's our option on that? Are we being at a higher amount of interest on this part of it, or is it going to be about the same?
Well, depending on when you take the loan out or the bond out, that's when the interest rate is determined at that point. You know, certainly interest rates are really good now, but we have no capital to support, we have no dollars to support those bonds. You know, so I guess that's the best I can answer the question. Sorry about that.
I guess you come to the point, I guess, board, you look at, no, yes, we have it's on low fixed income, you can also still look at the future. I mean, a week or so, you can be talking about getting business back in here. So you need to find middle. And be fair for all people. But you also got to look at the future. You know, you got to have the infrastructure to have people come in and create the jobs. Mm-hmm. You're only talking a portion of the income of a person working in our community. And the way I understand the game plays is it's the best offer gets the business. And we can't support the business, it's going to go somewhere else. So you got to find the middle. You got to support the low income, you got to support the fixed income, you also got to support our children coming out of schools, colleges, out of the community. So my suggestion is try to find the middle ground on this. We should have been talking about this. Mayor Walker was here, and he just kept putting it on the table. And it was wasn't a good time. So now we got to face it. We have to do it now. We're going to lose a lot more money in our community. So just stop the out, guys. I think you just find the middle and go with it.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments from the council?
I just appreciate the people that did come out mm-hmm. and take the time, because I know it's tough to come talk and, you know.
I was actually hoping for a whole room.
Someone has our own standing room only, but, you know.
See, there's some good ideas that came out of here.
Yes, there is.
I mean,
yes, there is.
You know, there's some things that we never thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those ideas, you know, maybe we can mature those into something.
Right.
Okay. If there's nothing else, thanks for being here. We'll take those comments into consideration. I know the council really appreciates your attendance, obviously.
Are the reports from, are the stuff from Umbaugh, are they available for them to come? Like,
you know, I don't know for sure. I will find out, and in some way, shape, or form, we'll get that out to people.
Or they could come look at it, because
yeah.
That one thing's kind of lengthy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a big document.
Is there any reason why we couldn't publish a year-end financial statement?
I don't know. Publish a year-end financial statement.
I think
know
all it's
that
on the State Board of Accounts, but
it's
not easily findable.
Okay.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Appreciate it. Really do. Okay, we're going to move on. Ordinance number 2014-13. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Ben, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2014-13 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-13, an ordinance vacating an alley in the city of Columbia City, Indiana.
Okay, you'll remember that this is the third reading of this ordinance. Marcia requested a third reading to make sure that residents were informed about this. Affected residents were informed about this. Marcia, do you have any?
Correct, and I have all four returned, having received their notices. I don't know if anybody is here. Any chance for this? Okay.
I don't think so.
So.
None of my neighbors.
Okay.
So that's all I needed to. That's why I wanted the third reading.
And one last time, I want to remind the council that this is a platted alley that the alley kind of meanders off of it, if you will, to the north of the American Legion. It is a grassy strip that is not being used as an alley. That portion will come at a later date for approval. So, with that, since this is the third reading, any last questions or comments regarding this? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve on third reading?
I move that we approve the ordinance on third reading.
Second.
Motion by Bill, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. 4-4 and Ben abstains. I apologize. Okay. Next up, we will do department head reports, and I'll start with Terry.
Board works approved.
Yep, and that's for the fiber ring for our utilities and for specifically for communication, which was needed years ago.
So.
Thank you, Terry. Questions of Terry? Mike.
We've had several painting projects we've been working on. We're wrapping those up next couple weeks. We had a rain event yesterday. We got a little over half an inch rain. We were able to collect some data, get that off to the engineers for a long term. We've been waiting on that.
Great.
Hopefully, we have usually don't like rain. Our department, but we're hoping to have some more rain so we get some more information to them, which will just save us money in the long run if not happen so far. If we have rain events, we'll get our ratings off solicitations.
Questions of Mike. Thank you, Mike. Mike.
On Elm Street, we're north of North Street now.
Questions of Mike.
<I love
it>. To the point. Thank you, Mike. Mark.
Pool is now closed for the year. Pretty down year, actually. It's been a cooler summer, and that's had an impact on attendance. So it's now shut down, and school starts tomorrow, so we'll shut it down Sunday. Pavilion is officially finished. If you've been by it, it has gutters now, and it's landscaping. One thing they can do is landscaping that. Looks really nice. It makes the pavilion look just really a lot better, a lot different. So, appreciate them doing that. Past weekend, we had the powwow. Really didn't have any issues with them at all. And we also had a softball tournament going on at the same time. And that softball tournament was put on by our own softball committee. They did a great job. We had 10 teams from around the area. So, just need to see a tournament that we hosted in our community. And they did a great job with that. So, it's just completely done by them. So, Dan was part of that. Really appreciate all of them. JFL practices started tonight, and probably a little wet, but teams have been picked, and they're starting practices, so they're ready for football season, and just changes season to season pretty quick, so games will be here in 2 weeks, And right now we're registering cheerleaders for JFL, so 300 girls want to register, they can come out to the office and do that. And we had our first aquatics fundraising meeting on Monday, and we'll meet again in 2 weeks, the 25th, and just starting the process of raising money.
Questions of Mark?
I have a question. Are you thinking about reopening the pool again next year?
Yes.
Are you looking at the losses from this year? And I mean,
the park board right now is, they haven't seen the final number yet. They don't think they'll see those for the 25th. But I do know that they were planning on foreseeing those reopening next year.
I think that was requested by some members of the public, if I remember correctly. Didn't they come to the meeting like maybe 2 or 3 months ago asking about what this was going to look like?
But they hadn't seen the numbers yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting here talking about all this that we're having to look at, and it's like, with that type of loss on that pool, I don't know, I have a lot of problem with that.
It would definitely be way down.
When do you need those figures?
All I have is the numbers that
you wouldn't have the expenses or anything, would you? Well, I know you're doing the issue. Yeah. So when do you need them?
By the 25th.
I guess it'd be nice to have them before we do the budgets, too.
I'll try and get them ready.
I mean, not next week, but then before we...
Before it comes here?
Before the budget comes here.
Yeah, I understand. That's fine. Okay, other questions of Mark? Thank you, Mark. Kelly?
Nip blocks, been in town, working, paving. We got everything done except for still working on Legion Drive. Got rained out. We'll probably be back in next week to finish that up. And then Shane will be in to do the signal loops that we discussed on Line Street. Done with the day from that company and discuss that. Also, Three Rivers Barricade will be coming in shortly. We're next on the list to do a striping. Line Street needs it. Chicago Street. Still continuing work on Rams and Columbia Shores, and we have 250 sidewalk applications.
Questions of Kelly? Got a lot of compliments about Line Street. A lot of compliments. It's great. Say what? Not during the construction. After it was completed. Although I got a lot of comments during construction too, but that's different. Very good. Thank you. Jeff?
Nothing in addition to the report I emailed out there.
I did, as a side note, I did talk to Ryan Schrack at OCRA regarding the Comprehensive Community Development Plan planning grant, and he assured me that it will be scored this week. So hopefully we'll have a response back by the end of the week. Not holding my breath, but we'll see. So, very good. Questions of Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Jackie?
Nothing.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to tell you what's on the agenda here coming up. By the way, I got a report. Columbia City government has won in kickball. We're off to the championship game, just for those sports fans. Doing a lot of stuff with Mark and the Park Board regarding aquatic facility that's moving forward, which is good stuff. We are working on the Fall Festival. More information will be going on that. Thursday, Jeff and I and Doug Brown and Kevin Snell, right? And Laura Rich Creek, is that it? And Leanne will be going down to the IMPA, or the Indiana Municipal Power Agency. They're having a downtown kind of day-long workshop type thing. I say we, although it's probably going to be me, will be presenting on how to start a Main Street and build momentum. So I will be down in Indianapolis on Thursday for that purpose, be with lots of other communities. And besides that, there's really not that much coming up. Projects are being completed in each of the different departments. Appreciate all their hard work. The summer has been wonderful to work outside compared to some of the past summers, but certainly has hurt the pool for obvious reasons. So, but appreciate all their work, and I think we're giving good service to our residents. So, okay, Dan, Ben,
I say Jeff for. On our meeting today.
RDC?
I don't really care to discuss it.
Well, I meant on the bids.
Oh, just that we received 4 and have a tentative potential award. Mm-hmm. If everything works out with comments that came up today. The bids range from 74,000 to
117,000. That was for the demolition of the Eagle Field.
Yeah. If that award is accepted, then that'll be happening in the next 30 days or so.
Should
start.
It'll be considered Monday. Monday consideration for approval. And then the apparent low bidder said we can start within a week or so.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Nicole?
I just have a question about the sewer rate increase. If we are going to increase it by January 1st, when would the last vote have to take place?
Everyone looks left.
As I say, I'm not going to speak for Marsha, but can verify, you'd have to have an ordinance.
That's what I meant. When would
two readings, a public hearing. So, is that what's your question?
Yeah.
For sure?
Like when would that be? When would,
how late would you got? Would you need it for the office to input the new rates?
Well, I would have to have probably at least 30 days because I'd have to have the programs changed.
So we'd have to do everything finished by the end of November.
At the very, very latest.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, as long as you meet the required time frames, mm-hmm. if there's no other interruptions,
right?
You know, we could do it by then.
Okay.
My suggestion would be, at the latest, probably be end of October.
Okay. So we have a lot of groundwork to do before we do that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good question, because since you're just now still discussing.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Bill? Okay. Public? Comments? Okay. Press? We'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.